Welcome back to the Everything Property Podcast. Today's episode marks number 40, not out, as we edge closer to the big ton. Now, it has been a while since I've done one of these sorts of episodes, but considering he was on the podcast last week and I had read his book in preparation for the interview, I thought it would be fitting to dive in and review Scott and his wife Mina O'Neill's updated and revised version of Rethink Property Investing. It's their book, which is a new and improved version of the first one that was released a few years back. If you're new here and you're wondering how this works, well, it's pretty simple. I read and review the book. I record roughly about a 10-minute podcast on it so you can get up to speed with it, what it's about, and decide whether you want to buy, invest, and read it. To be completely clear and transparent, I want to let everyone know, unless stated otherwise, this book review and all the other book reviews I've done on the podcast are done at my own expense. They are not sponsored in any way, shape, or form. In the case of today's episode, I did fork out the $25 and buy the book off Amazon, so there's no sponsorships or affiliations with the owners or the writers of the book. Now, look, let's jump straight into it. Rethink Property Investing by Scott and Mina O'Neill. Who's it good for? Now, I'm going to peg this book in the novice and beginner category up until about the intermediate sort of property investor level. So if you're someone that's maybe has heard a little bit about commercial property or even none at all, and you're in that curious learning stage, then this book is great for you, as it brings you sort of on this journey of Scott and Mina's portfolio, sort of who they are, how they started, how they built their portfolio. It gives you a little bit of a breakdown about commercial property, the asset classes. Then it puts into place a few steps on how to make that purchase, and to top it off, how to capitalize on that purchase once you've made it. Now, the particular structure of the book, so to start things off, it's actually a little bit unorthodox in the sense that the preface is about 20 pages long, but it does include, but it does include a recap, or so to speak, an introduction of both Scott's personal story and Mina's personal story about their beginnings, how they sort of started and got to where they've been. So that sort of sets the scene, sets the context for the book. In total, the book is 280-odd pages, so it's right in that sweet spot for regular readers like myself. And it's actually broken up into three main parts. So the first part is called sort of Moving Beyond Your Backyard. So what this section is really good for is introducing some of the commercial properties that Scott and Mina have personally bought in their portfolio. It talks about what commercial property is, different types of sectors and commercial properties, and some must-know information, as well as breaking down a couple of the myths regarding commercial property. Cough, cough, you guessed it, vacancies and capital growth. So it dives into those much needed and breaks down those myths. Now, once you've read that, you then move into part two, which is, they've coined it these sort of eight steps. So it's almost as if they're eight steps into purchasing a property. Without stealing Scott or Mina's thunder, I won't run through 1 to 8. However, it sort of starts with mindset and money habits, and then ends up in sort of the selling, negotiation, and management stage of your property. So it sort of brings you from start to finish. It's almost like a checklist of things to put in place when purchasing a commercial property. And now you got to pay close attention in these chapters, as I think there's some great wisdom and insight from Scott regarding these eight steps. Part three is property play. So essentially things that you can do after you've purchased the property. My favorite chapter in this section is how to increase capital growth through a couple of interesting value add plays, a little bit different to resi space. So I've definitely got a couple of highlights and notes written all over those pages. Then after that, they have a conclusion, some final words and remarks. And what's really good is at the back of this book, there's an entire glossary of all the terms that all the commercial real estate terms that you're going to ever hear during acquisition or owning a commercial property. So super valuable. Flick to the back and you can sort of work through all of those. Now, what I like about the book, I guess the main thing I like about this book, and I'll take my hat off to Scott and Mina for this, is that they use real life examples from their own portfolio. Now, Too many times I see time and time again on social media, you get these property spruikers in ill-fitting suits that pop up with their paid ads and their flashy cars and all that kind of stuff. And they throw out these big numbers about how big their portfolio is and how many properties they own. But they never, ever name a location. You can't track anything. You don't see any of these purchases or an example of anything from their portfolio. So I call bullshit on these type of people. The difference with this book, however, is Scott and Mina literally break down not only their first commercial property purchase, which I believe from memory was a fish and chip shop and mini supermarket over in Perth in about 2015. I haven't got the page in front of me. But they also then go on to list properties 24 to 29 in their portfolio, which were subsequent commercial property purchases. So they literally show they've got some photos, they've got prices, they've got pros, they've got cons, they've got a little bit of a write-up of everything in between each of these property purchases. Now, I'm not too sure, I may have missed it, but I'm not too sure why they go from property 24 to 29. Now, it could be because properties 1 to 23 are resi, but I do like the fact there is these examples, and you can see that they've got their own skin in the game. What I learned from this book, now for me personally, I've been following Scott's content for quite some time now. I bought his first book probably about 4 years or so when it first came out, and I've been across his sort of podcast as well as when he makes guest appearances on all the other podcasts. So I tend to listen to that, all that sort of stuff. So I was probably across and knew what most of it had to offer, but I mean, revised and reworked, new and improved edition. I had to get my paws on it and have a look. Look, some of the things I actually did learn, some new things, is the average net yield comparison between resi and commercial. So Scott actually breaks it down in the book where he shows, you know, your average industrial rental yields at net is about 6.9%, and then he shows the breakdown of a resi yield, which is at about 2.66% after all costs. I found that really interesting, that comparison, because often, as you guys know, or if you don't know, when people talk about residential property yield, it's almost gross. It's always referred to as a gross yield, which means before costs, whereas commercial yield is almost always net, which is after costs. He also talks about, which is cool, growth rates. Now, there's a bit of extra data in here about commercial property growth, which is really good, including this, considering, and as we sort of chat about this in the podcast that I did with him last week, it's pretty rare to find on the open internet a lot of data around the commercial property space, purely because the size of it. It's 1/10 of the resi space. It's valued at $1 trillion. The resi space is valued at $10 trillion. So it's hard to find all those growth rates and all that kind of data. Scott's put it in there, and he sort of breaks down the growth rates between both. Another great thing that he's got in there, probably because I've never been to one, but I did learn, and it sort of breaks down why commercial auctions aren't really a good place to be able to buy commercial property. Scott's commercial buyers agency almost always refuses to buy at commercial property auctions, purely because it's a minefield for people wanting to overpay, and they just don't want to deal with that sort of competition. So it's not a good place to pick up a deal unless it is passed in. There's also a ton of useful information on structuring, although I would like to have this explained a little bit more. There's also some chat about syndicates and self-managed super funds towards the back end of the book, which is really cool and interesting. And lastly, there's actually a good bit of advice that I picked up in there that he concludes in the back half of the book, section 3, when he's talking about the methods of sales, that he says that negotiations are not wars, but they are pathways to a mutual agreement, which is something I think a lot of people forget about and could do with some reminding. People often, I hear people say all the time, they can't wait to go and, you know, rip this person off or get the deal. But when you think of it as a mutual agreement, then you're both moving towards the same goal of selling something, getting something sold. Yeah, just sort of opened a different approach for me to look at that. Now, look, some things to keep in mind when you're reading the book. I think it's worth mentioning and reminding everyone out there that commercial property is a higher risk than residential, but with that greater risk does come a greater reward, particularly when talking about rental yield and returns. Like Resi is almost always spoken about in gross, as I said before, i.e. before expenses, whereas commercial property is the exact opposite, i.e. net yields. Therefore, if you have two identical assets side by side, so if you have one Resi, one commercial, same value, same yield, commercial wins every day of the week, and that is purely because in commercial property, the tenant is responsible for all the outgoings, all the bills, all the maintenance. Now, also towards the back of the book, there is a section where they go into detail about commercial property paying itself off in 10 years' time and by using the positive cash flow to pay back down the debt. However, when you look at those tables, and one thing that's not taken into consideration, I do believe it is mentioned once, but there's a lot of tables in comparison, so it can be easily missed. They don't take into consideration tax in these calculations. So, for example, if the property's $10,000 positively cash flowed per year, instead of you can't really pay that $10,000 off principal amount sort of in the next year or have it build up. You've got to pay tax on that $10,000. It's positive cash flow, so you could pay anywhere up to 45% tax on that. So obviously that would then push out your time frame well past 10 years, but it would depend on the deal and the size and the numbers. Deposits is another thing I probably want to quickly touch on. As commercial lending, you do need to pay a 30% deposit. Now, when you think of it, that's almost a third of the property's price paid up front. Resi, we're talking anywhere between 10% to 20%, one tenth or one fifth. Now, when you do pay one third or more so 30%, it does make it extremely probable that that property will be cash flow positive. And so if you're going to compare Resi and commercial, you need to compare apples with apples. If you, for example, listening to this, you're looking at a deal, you can't compare the cash flow of a commercial investment that you're paying a 30% deposit on compared to a Resi one that you're only paying 10% deposit. You got to look at things like the cash required to get into the deal and what do both deals look like if you're only paying the exact same deposit for both of them. Another thing I did pick up is yield. When there's the comparisons in the back half of the book between Resi and commercial property in the tables, the Resi yield that's used is only 4%. Now, that's quite conservative, and I know a lot of areas and buyer's agents who would argue that that figure needs to be adjusted, and so I'd probably like to see what it does look like if there was a few different yield case scenarios for the Resi comparison. So if you looked up at 6% yield, which is definitely achievable for somewhere like up in Queensland nowadays. But look, guys, there we have it, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. That's my sort of rough 10-minute guide to the book. If you're interested in commercial property or you want to hear more from my chat with Scott O'Neill as well, be sure to skip back to last week's episode number 39. Give it a listen. I guarantee you'll finish listening to that interview either more inspired or educated than when you started it, because I know I definitely did. But yes, that is my 10-minute summary of the book. I hope you got great value from it and you decide to read it.